There's a moment in the novel, Cold Mountain. The character Inman has left the ragged fighting of the U.S. Civil War. He's left it behind to go home. Whether the war is done or not, he is. At one point, while crossing some mountains, he sees birds hopping about, eating berries. And he realizes that through all the years of the war, they remained, thriving in those mountains, almost as if waiting for him. He feels cheered by them. But later, reflecting on that moment, he says, "I feel I am deeply at variance with such elements of the harmonious." For me, this is a very spiritual moment. Inman sees things as they are, very physical, very real, very simple. But they invoke for him something much more meaningful and important, the wholeness of being. He feels his own lack of wellness that war and division has brought into his soul, and he longs to be made in sync again with the harmonious. All of us who have become aware of the vast power of global climate change, all that is facing us, we may feel we are all deeply at variance with the elements of the harmonious. Religion, if defined as how we share our spirituality and our meaning and our motivation. Religion, if it includes the clear thinking of science, has a power to save the world. Since I'm speaking about birds, right now you should know that from February 14th to February 17th, many people, perhaps people in this room, have been participating in the Great Backyard Bird Count. It's this blending of bird science from the Cornell Laboratory of Ornithology and bird lovers all in cooperation. The GBBC, as it's sometimes called, is open to anyone, anyone beyond all walls and divisions. It does not matter if you are a Hindu or atheist or a creationist Christian. Anyone can help count the birds. Anyone can join both love and science, simple pleasure and wonder, helpfulness and goodness all together. The only way that religion and science can save the world is together, affirming the oneness of truth, the oneness of compassion, the power of wonder and hope. We must merge mind and spirit, imagination and reason, compassion and practical understanding in one word. Our unifying spirit is one of love. Love supreme, love that moves us to embody wholeness and hope in our lives and in our actions. This vision of one truth is a universal understanding. For example, the 14th Dalai Lama said, "Buddhism and science are not in conflicting perspectives on the world. They are differing approaches to the same end, seeking the truth. In Buddhist training, it is essential to investigate reality, and science offers its own ways to go about the same investigation. While the purposes of science may differ from those of Buddhism, both ways of searching for the truth expand our knowledge and understanding." In fact, this was the understanding of most Christians in European cultures before the 1500s, the idea of religion and science as two separate things was developed by thinkers in the colonial powers. Natural philosophy, before that, was seen as a natural part of the religious exploration of understanding the whole wonder and awe of this world. There was no division. The sense that of this division did not really even gain popular traction until about the 1800s. And then the scientific method began to change our knowledge of the world in increasingly radical ways. The so-called religious people rebelled at the changes they were feeling. And the separation moved into high gear with the rise of Christian fundamentalism. Through the 20th century, people tried to figure out how to get these two separate things to coexist, for they became more and more separate. Different ways of understanding the world, different sources of truth, completely disunified. As late as 1999, the scientist Stephen Jay Gould, in his book Rock of Ages, tried to find harmony between the two by separating them into what he called non-overlapping magisteria, or realms of study and teaching and understanding. But the fact is, we all share one universe. There is only one. The fact is, we all share an essential need, a hunger for a coherent world view, a coherent human culture, common goals that we share with all the people with whom we are rubbing shoulders and sharing the resources. We all have a hunger for well-being and equality for all people. And that is the purpose of religion. To awaken us to these needs and to motivate us to move towards them, to change our spirit so that we can live more in harmony with the harmonious. If people only call religion, separate religion out as that which deals with some supernatural transcendent, then we're cutting religion off from this one always awesome universe. Oh, for another reading today, I think I had two. We have two or three readings. Another reading is you should read Poppy's T-shirt. It's a good T-shirt. It's about science. But we Unitarian Universalists understand that everything is bound into one inescapable garment of destiny, to use Dr. King's phrase. We all share this one world. Religion is the discipline of finding cohesive meaning and value in this one universe and finding our place in harmony with it. Just reading a scientist, Judith Curry, who said, the problem with our understandings of the truth is that it is very social. She was talking about how most of our understandings of what is really true and good come from other people. And I'll be talking about knowledge in a few Sundays, but she says, the problem is that we have these manufactured consensuses. We try to convince one another that we all know what's true. We're always trying to build up that consensus, and it's an artificial construct. That's why science, she says, is so important. Because it has this self-correcting mechanism, always saying we don't know for certain. We pronounce scientific understandings as though they are absolute and eternal and unquestionable. And the whole point of science is we can continue to revise and review. Sometimes great understandings came from someone testing and trying to reproduce a test that someone else had done and finding out they couldn't reproduce it. And suddenly we came into new understandings. She says, a manufactured consensus imposes a rigid dogma that strangely, for an issue devilishly complex and untestable as climate change, ignores the need to fill the missing pieces of the picture. It alienates some people who might be more receptive to a nuanced, realistic, and honest portrayal of what is known and not known. For an example, I raise up, because this is what we call, I call it so-called Black History Month, because it's really not Black History Month, it's correcting all of our all history month. I want to hold up Lewis Latimer. Lewis Latimer was an African American, Black American. He was born during the time of division of science and religion growing. He was born before the U.S. Civil War, in which race was a serious dividing line. But he was the person who did the most of anyone to perfect what is now known as Thomas Edison's light bulb. He developed this filament. He developed that little, you know, you screw in the light bulbs. He's the one who came up with that idea. But he was not only a brilliant electrical engineer. He was not only a scientist. He was also one of the founders of what is now named the UU Congregation of Queens. Science and religion were of one piece for him rose from the same desire to find the truth that was useful and helpful to all. In 1890, Lewis Latimer wrote a book about incandescent electric lighting. It was the exciting title that he came up with. And he wrote of the light that he had helped invent, he said, "Like the light of the sun, it beautifies all things on which it shines and is no less welcome in the palace than in the humblest home." This idea of the one truth leads to another impelling fact of religion, that we must work together. I've often said spirituality is about how we find meaning in our own individual lives and experience and understanding. Religion is how we share that with other people. What do we do with other people? How do we work together? And one of the key powers of working together is compassion. Medical science, for example, arises not from an interest just in understanding the mechanism of human biology, but from a desire to end suffering. Cure for polio was not invented because some scientist figured it out. It was because we saw children being twisted and hurt, and we were moved by compassion to do something about it. Many people struggling with the threat of climate change right now are filled with fear and a desire to avoid disaster and ruin. It is far more powerful if you move out of the space of love and care and compassion. The whole power of religion is to nurture character. Science does nurture mental discipline, but it really cannot force or even encourage or even inspire fundamental qualities of human beings. In the Christian tradition, we talk about virtues. In the Buddhist tradition, we talk about things not just dispassionate equanimity. The four abodes of the divine, is one of them is equanimity, but the others are metta, mudita, and karuna, which is metta is loving kindness. We nurture this in the human mind, sympathetic joy. This is something we nurture here to be joyful with the joy of others, and compassion to suffer in the suffering of others. The Pope of Catholic Christianity has declared that not only are we facing a global climate crisis, but that we have a crisis in compassion. He has pointed out over and over that Christians have a direct and obvious and unequivocal obligation to help and protect the most poor and vulnerable among us. A speaker from San Diego 350 today mentioned that again. The Dalai Lama noted that when faced with a problem that we have caused, we are often relying on praying to God or to Buddha. And then he added to this in his understated way, "Sometimes I feel this is very illogical." We created the problem. We need to do something about it. He understands that we all are in this together. Muslim environmental ethicists note that zakat, alms to the poor, is one of the pillars of Islam. And so they demand that political leaders not only think about giving food to the poor, but giving protection to the poor from the disasters and the harm that will come from global climate change. It is a moral demand in Islam to advocate for those who are vulnerable and or voiceless. And the clergy letter also emphasizes this. It talks about how ecological insincerity reinforces inequality. We must remember in this work, they say, to be kind to one another. It is easy to let panic, the frustration, and the pain turn us against one another, to speak in harsh judgment, to act in self-righteous anger, but we will only move forward together. It is important not what we do only, but how we do it. So this may all seem heavy, the power of the one reality and the threats that it brings, the power of compassion and to help those who are in greatest need and threat. But ultimately, our motivation must rise, as I said, from love and wonder. A coherent worldview requires hope. Ancient philosopher, Greek philosopher Plato said that all philosophy begins in wonder. Albert Einstein spoke about the wonder that impels all science. The scientific method, the method for discovering truth begins, always begins with curiosity, observing things and then getting curious and wondering about it. Rachel Carson, the naturalist who ended the use of poisonous DDT, who stopped an ecological crisis of a smaller sort. Rachel Carson wrote an article in 1956 called Help Your Child to Wonder, and it was eventually made into a book called The Sense of Wonder. It was all about taking your children, being with children out in the world, and rediscovering with them. She wrote, if a child is to keep alive their inborn sense of wonder, they need the companionship of at least one adult who can share it, rediscovering with them the joy, the excitement, the mystery, the indescribable beauty of the world we live in. So nurture always an openness to the reality of this world. Bring your religious life present into your relationships, into the places where you live, where you move, where you work. Some people will say that the world does not need saving. But we know that disaster and ruin is happening. Perhaps we will all be wiped out and the world will continue. But wouldn't it be more beautiful if we continued with it? The Reverend Gene Reeves wrote, far from having nothing to say, the religious liberal has to proclaim against both the religious and the secular adversaries the good news over and over again, the good news that the future remains open and the fates are not in control. We must be the people moved to use the insights and the clarity and all the tools of science to reinforce the unity of all things, to reinforce the compassion in all things, to reinforce and to make thrive the hope in all living things.